Goedenavond, lieve mensen. Welkom terug bij Red Light Jams, de wekelijkse radioshow waar we jullie meenemen in allerlei mooie, nieuwe, oude jazzmuziek op de 99.4 van Salto. Van Salto.
Van onze vrienden van Salto.
Van onze vrienden van Salto. Wij heten sinds kort de Studio C. Dijk, maar jullie mogen ook nog wel Jazz Red Light Jazz Radio noemen, want daar luisteren we ook nog naar voorlopig. Ja. Voorgoed, waarschijnlijk. Dus dat. Ik ben hier met Sophie vanavond.
Hallo.
Net als vorige keer en de keer daarvoor. Dus we zijn weer helemaal warm gedraaid om jullie deze avond weer mee te nemen. En dit weekend, we hebben het al een paar keer genoemd, maar dit weekend staat op het programma in de Indische Buurt in Amsterdam. Volgens mij komende zaterdag de 14e het Jazz Festival, Jazzfest in de Indische Buurt. Dus overal verspreid door de buurt zijn nieuwe en oude jazzartiesten te horen. Op het Javaplein bijvoorbeeld, in de El Teto-kerk, het badhuis. Volgens mij is het clubhuis een beetje in de Stay Okay. Daar kun je kaartjes en zo halen. Dus ga dat checken. Daarnaast, in ander nieuws, heeft North Sea Jazz weer een hele partij nieuwe naam aangekondigd.
Ja, echt niet
normaal. En wat voor namen? Ja. Ik heb even mijn favorieten eruit gehaald. Namelijk Burna Boy komt, Flea komt, waar we natuurlijk al een paar keer over hebben gehad, die een jazzalbum heeft gemaakt. Thundercat, die weer aan het werken is aan een nieuw album. Het DJ Alter Ego van Anderson .Paak komt.
Ja.
Robert Glasper. Kokoroko is toegevoegd. De RH Factor.
John Legend.
John Legend, inderdaad.
Te vergeten.
Die vergeet ik wel heel vaak dat hij bestaat. Want hij was een tijdje gewoon heel, heel erg aan, toch? En nu niet meer. Of misschien komt hij gewoon niet meer in mijn algoritmes of zo. Ik weet het niet.
Bij maar deze? Goed,
hij is daar. Net als ik, trouwens.
En in ander nieuws, en dat gaat niet over muziek, maar wij zijn volgende week op 18 maart kan je natuurlijk stemmen voor de gemeenteraadsverkiezingen. En wij zijn hier dan op de Zeedijk nummer 44 een stemlokaal voor de gemeenteraadsverkiezing en voor de stadsdeelcommissie. Maar als je voor je stadsdeelcommissie wilt stemmen, dan moet je dat wel doen in je eigen stadsdeel. Dus als je in het centrum ingeschreven hebt. Maar kom vooral langs, want het wordt gewoon geweldig. Je mag langskomen en je mag een nummertje aanvragen. Als je het leuk vindt, mag je dat ook zelf aankondigen in de show. Wij zijn er dus van 7 tot 8. Maar je kan eigenlijk de hele dag, is het hier een en al
tot hoe laat kun je stemmen eigenlijk? Tot 9?
Ja, ik denk tot 9 of 10.
Misschien kunnen we dan wel een uurtje rekken.
Ja, precies. Dus kom vooral langs. En dan nu nog meer muzieknieuws. Waar ik deze week heel erg blij mee was, is dat een van mijn favoriete jazzcollectieven, Kokoroko, heeft een nieuwe EP gereleased. Een live opname van drie nummers van hun vorige album, Tough Time Never Lasts. En dat, die live opname is een one-taker. Er zijn bijna geen dubs of edits aan achteraf gegaan, zoals je het zo zou zeggen. En voor hun is het echt een soort een tijdscapsule voor hoe hun bandgeluid nu op dit moment klinkt. En we gaan luisteren naar het eerste nummer van die EP en dat is Higher. One,
two, three, four. You're listening to Red Light Jazz Radio.
Thank you.
Dat was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, de versie van Micaiah McRaven. And I'm gonna switch to English now, because we have some guests in our studio. Welkom Pedro, Miguel, Rico en Antonio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're with the four of you right now, but normally you're five, with Jelle as well.
Yeah.
And you formed the band Nausicaa.
Yeah.
That's us. That the right pronunciation?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think either any of us is actually sure about what the right pronunciation is. We've had all kinds of pronunciations.
It's Nausicaa. It's really good. It's
okay,
I think
Nausicaa
originally comes from Greek, and I think how they would say it's like Nausicaa. Yeah, Nausicaa. But it's also like a name in very different languages. In Italian, we have Nausicaa. I think in Spanish, we also have Nausicaa. And also in Japanese, it's Nausicaa.
Because it is originally Japanese?
No, originally it's a Greek name. Actually, it comes from the Odyssey. Nausicaa was a nymph that allegedly would make sailors fall in love with her, and then they would go to her island, and then she would burn their ships so they could not leave the island.
I know that story.
Right. So Nausicaa literally means she who burns ships in ancient Greek.
Well, yeah. We're immediately diving really deep into Greek mythology.
Yeah.
But before we continue about Greek mythology, I would like to introduce you, because you are you form a band. You know each other from the Amsterdam Conservatory, and you create music as bands do, but really like compelling music. At least how I experience it, a very melancholic and but also loud at the same time, and a bit of indie, and but also funky and joyful music, and sometimes a little sad. And when I listened to it, I listened to it today the whole day, because I tried to prepare for this interview, of course, and I felt constantly like I was the main character in some kind of movie. I don't know if that was the purpose of your music,
maybe,
but that's what I felt like.
Maybe you were Nausicaa in a previous life.
amazing.
It was probably
really nice to hear.
But things have been going well for you. If I can believe your social media, because you were playing in het Concertgebouw, in het Bimhuis, the North Sea Jazz, Paradiso. You won a prize as well.
Yeah.
Was it a rough ride, or how did you end up?
I don't think it's ever been smooth sailing.
No?
Well, every we've gone through different periods. So during the making of the first album, Nausicaa, Pedro had a tendinitis.
Can
I
start with that?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. No, just so he could barely play while we were recording, so we even had to get someone else to play for one track.
Oh,
and
no.
That was too demanding. And then later, our guitar player, who's also called Antonio, wanted to just stop performing in general, so that also was quite a transition, rough transition. And then
we
that was after the first album.
Yeah, between the first and the second album, and yeah.
We also started the band one day prior to COVID.
it was a doomed thing, but we just keep persevering somehow.
Yeah, and it feels like for me it went quite fast. Everything. Or when did you feel like it really started moving for you?
I think when we got second place in the Keep an Eye or something, more or less, in that consortium. I mean, we kind of made us believe in ourselves, I think, in the band. But also, like, I think the band at the same time is like, we are obviously very close friends. Matter of fact, we just came from having dinner together and having
lunch.
So having nice talks. So I think the whole thing with the band is also a lot about that, and the music we make is very much about that. But it was after Keep an Eye, right?
Or something.
We started believing that something.
Keep an Eye is a prize for students from the conservatory in general?
Yes. There's the awards where you perform and then the winner gets a money prize. And then there's Keep an Eye, the records, which we also were lucky to win in 2024. Where you get 10,000 euros to make an album, and then you would do.
And
a
did
little
you feel the pressure when you won the prize that you really have to make that album?
Well, I don't. Maybe someone wants to talk about what we were about to release our first album, and then we had to make another album in the meantime.
I was wondering, it was so fast after.
No,
we were in trouble when we won it, actually, because we were like, we just don't have the music, and we just don't have the time to make this new album, but. it was nonetheless a luxurious problem to have, mm-hmm. because we were very lucky with it, and it was a blessing and a curse, but mostly a blessing.
Definitely. Always a blessing.
Yeah, because you also brought a song from that second album, mm-hmm. Punk.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen to that in a bit, but first, how does that second album relate to the first one?
Pedro,
because you had to make it so
something
fast after.
Yeah, I think the second album is a bit more. It has less filters. Also, it's a bit less, because I think the first album was mostly songs that Antonio wrote, mm-hmm. and he brought already the music to the rehearsal, and then we would learn it and we would try to arrange it together. But it always came from Antonio, and that had the sound, the specific sound, and also we had a guitar player, mm-hmm. Which he had also a very specific role as creating more ambience on the more maybe tight groove that we were doing. So it was different, and then the second album was more jam based. Actually, the songs came about in the rehearsal space. Everyone brought an idea, and then we all together would kind of collage everything together. It was more like that. We even had an idea in the studio, because we were lucky enough because of the price to afford to go to Italy, and we were 2 weeks in Italy. The first week we were just playing, and the second one we went to the studio, and then for the first time ever we had like 5 days in the studio, which for this day and age is quite luxurious, yeah. to have 5 days in a professional studio, mm-hmm. and then by the end we kind of jammed actually what became Punk Song.
That's
2 weeks. You're spoiling.
Yeah, bro.
You're spoiling, man.
We have like four titles for
each show.
The official title is 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. But 2 weeks was 2 weeks. This song is actually it reflects the second album in that perfect way, because basically you hear the first thing, the synth bass, which is something that Antonio brought, and then in a rehearsal I made a melody for it, like we started playing on it, and then I played that melody, and then it became like that, and then we were not supposed to record the song, and I remember, guys, let's just record this, and then we didn't even have a B part or something, so we just kind of jammed on it, and it became a song we really love. So
this also makes me maybe feels a bit more like it's a song from all of you instead of
all the songs right now feel like that, you know, like they really feel like if someone brings an idea or a specific thing to the rehearsal at that moment is already not their song, you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. it's already the band's song, and the egos are out in that place, so it's great.
Well, let's listen to it then. 2 weeks. That was 2 weeks by Noshka. And they're still with us in the studio.
So I actually have a question about this song. I was listening to it and I was wondering, it feels like you're hunting for something.
I think Miguel can say something
about
exploring.
What are you hunting for?
What makes you... Okay, so what are... I think we're hunting...
If yeah. it's that.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. In some point, yes, that song, it feels like... I didn't have the idea for the song. It just happened, and it was like, okay, let's make something a bit more pushy, more rocky in that sense, and the sense of like the melody when it comes. Like, I love when melodies come to me like that, because it's just it. The melody came from a very emotional place of love. Like, we all love when this happens. Like, we're searching for this all the time in life, and also in music. So I think that's the search with the song, and it's us trying to search for something, a type of sound that we still probably didn't get it with this song, and that we're searching, and then the next album actually yeah, well, I don't know, I cannot spoil so
but
much
oh yeah, sorry, you want to say?
No, I mean, I think your feeling is very valid. I don't have the same feeling listening to the song, but what I can say is that I think this song was for us an attempt of reconnecting with our upbringing, partly. So in a way, we were searching that connection, because me, I can talk for myself, but I think most of us also grew up listening to a lot of rock, a lot of indie, and, you know, just subgenres, more underground genres. And I carry this with me a lot, although I studied jazz, and at some point I started feeling the need of reconnecting, and I think we all felt this this need. And with this song, we felt like it was a good playground to try and connect with that. So regarding the groove, like this kind of rocky groove, it immediately felt good to
go back. Is that also what brought you together? Yeah. Did you all come from the same inspiration?
No, I wouldn't say so. And also, it's fair to say, like, just a last bit about the song. This song was not supposed to be in the album. It was a very little... It was a hunch of... Actually, it was a hunch of mine, because I really wanted to do it. And it was a hunch to do it at the studio. And we were not supposed to do it, because it actually sounded very jammy when I did it, which then it came to the part of the person who produced the album, Antonio Todisco, did a great, great job. He also put things together, and then the song became that. But we come from different places musically. We can talk about it. Like,
yeah, but not only musically, also... You're all from different countries, right?
Yeah,
you're all
of
based in Amsterdam, but you're not from the Netherlands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that also influencing your music as a group?
Yeah, yeah.
And in,
for sure.
In what way is it?
Maybe a lot of these songs feel a bit like summer, or like a fantasy world, which helps us escape sometimes from the grayness of.
We all come from sunnier places, which is not hard, but we all do come from, even Yellow, it comes from Den Bosch.
Yeah.
Which I think it's sunny.
Where the sun always
still
shines.
Still sunnier, yeah.
Yeah. You're all from the south in that way.
Yeah, in that way, yes.
Yeah.
But you're all based here in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And does that mean anything to you that you're all based in Amsterdam? Like, could you be placed anywhere? Could you be in Den Bosch, or in Spain, or in Italy, or wherever, or...
I don't think so. I think here, like the school where we studied as a usual, because the conservatorium in Amsterdam, it's quite international. And I think that's actually the main reason why Nausicaa is a thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing about Nausicaa.
We're all from the same year.
Yeah, we all started in 2018. And, you know, and 8 years later, we have this thing happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that always, that only happened because of school, in a way, because we met there. Yeah. And, you know, the school is a great place. Just the faculty is great. And also just the, you know, they have a lot of rooms and equipment. And they have a great studio, which we used to record our first album. So the school was always super supportive of us. And also, it's this beautiful place, I think, for just music. And there's people coming from everywhere, from all over the world. and they connect just through music. And I think that's very special about this school. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I would say. Yeah, and if I can add, I mean, of course, the school is a plays an important role, but I feel like we should also give the credit that it deserves to the Netherlands and to Amsterdam, because I think we wouldn't be able to exist as a band in Italy, for example. Like, not as we wouldn't be as successful, you may say. Like, it's just there's so much more space for experimentation, and we felt so supported by institutions also being here.
So there's more of an infrastructure here too.
There's more infrastructure and more support for musicians and artists who dare a bit more, I think, and that's what also allowed us to do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess also less judgment. I love Amsterdam. Yeah. I love it.
Can I say? Can I swear? Okay. Usually,
in Spanish.
There's never good talk about the school or the Netherlands. Everyone's shitting.
Yeah, talking trash about CBI.
It's very sweet that we're saying this now.
Because we're being honest.
Not. I am honest. Not. I can only talk good about Amsterdam. I mean, I know why I'm here, and it's specifically for that. There's way less judgment in terms of, as an artist, you feel way less judged and you have much more space. And that's, I think, the most important thing that brought me here.
I think like the school is a reflection of the city in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and we're very happy that you bring this on in your music to us.
No, but we're being honest. This is honest. It's not, it's definitely not politically correct. It's really honest.
Thanks for your honesty. I would like, on that note, I would like to move on to your next song you brought by Pino Palladino and Blake Mills.
Right.
Why was it an influence?
I chose this song. Because
can you say your name when you say
so? I'm Rico.
Okay, Rico chose this song. Thank you.
And I chose this song because it was one of the, I think, most exciting discoveries of last year for me. I already knew this project. This is a project between Pino Palladino, Blake Mills, and Chris Dave, and they've been working together for a few years now, and it's kind of their playground band where they really just like let go of everything and experiment and have fun, because they all are great musicians, great session musicians that play in very different contexts. Pino Palladino is one of the
Joe Mayer trio,
right? Is one of the greatest bass players, the most hired, most expensive bass players out there. Blake Mills is another great session guitar player, but also a incredible songwriter. And Chris Dave is also another of the most requested drummers out there. But when they meet together, they just have fun and don't care about what they do, or they really care about what they do, but they just have fun. and I think you can really hear it, and each of their personalities really shines in this project, and each of them has been a great inspiration for me. Pino Palladino as a bass player, Blake Mills as a singer-songwriter, his storytelling is really inspiring for me, and his way of playing guitar is also very unique and super inspiring. And so Chris Dave's way of playing drums. So
yeah,
that's why.
Okay, well, let's listen to it. Taka. Thank you. Dat was Taka bij Pino Palladino en Blake Mills en this other guy.
Chris Daddy, Chris Daddy Dave.
That Chris other guy that plays
that is,
why is he not mentioned? Because it's always only... It's the album by Blake Mills and Pino Palladino.
Yeah, I mean, that's the band. It's the two of them. The project is by the two of them.
So
but
I'm
they
not
always,
stupid.
But they always... No, you're not stupid. Just I think Rick was misleading before. Because I think the band is from Blake Mills and Pino.
Okay.
And then they always play with Sam Gendel and Chris Dave.
Chris Daddy Dave.
Thank you for it, though. And you're still here in the studio, Nausicaa.
Yeah.
And there's also something else coming up already after your two albums, who are just released, actually.
Yeah.
It's almost time for a next album. Can you tell a bit about that already, or is it all secrets still?
No, it's definitely not a secret. We've been saying to people, yeah, we're in the studio and we're doing collaborations. We are not telling people yet what those collaborations are. Not all of them.
I want to see you're hinting on it, though, because you brought another song we are going to listen to later.
Yes, that one is definitely not a secret.
No.
Yeah.
And does it mean that the Nausicaa world is opening up to some vocals?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe.
No, come on.
It's so mysterious.
Instagram.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, we put it on Instagram. Never mind.
So yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think almost from the maybe not from the beginning, but there's always been this thing of collaborating with a singer one way or another. And we
already did once.
Which we did with Kristina Kovalyova once for a gig in Sinito, which was super nice. And then we just kept playing, we kept seeing what could fit. And then we found this album. And maybe Pedro wants to say something about that.
So there's this album called Tender Superpower by the great, the only Marta Arpini. Which is a dear friend, also from Amsterdam. She also studied in the school. And I think we all, I mean, I'll speak for myself. It was one of my favorite albums from last year. I think also Rick was. And when we had this idea to collaborate with people, I think it was just that name that was like, we need to do something with her. We had to.
And she agreed?
Yeah, she agreed.
It became so special. You have no idea. It's so nice. It was really nice.
Are you selling your next album?
No. Like I'm sharing.
Gonna be great.
I'm sharing a personal experience of you. Like how can I say?
I mean, I think what I can say is that, you know, we know each other quite well, and you know we rehearse almost every week. I have to say, when we first met Marta, I was a bit nervous.
Mm.
I felt a bit of this thing, and also we brought some ideas. And also, I don't really write that much. They write way more than me. But I really wanted to write something for Marta because I just like her so much, and I think. I don't know, I just felt this urge to bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did, Antonio helped me out, and then everyone joined. And then in one session we had one song. And then we did another session, she brought something, and we had a second
song. Was it really different to work with a singer in the studio instead of only with the five of you?
It was different, but it didn't feel unnatural. It felt very, very organic. And I think because she's also really experienced writing with other people and especially other really great instrumentalists, so she can really communicate. We could communicate in the same language,
mm-hmm.
Which made things very... Actually, it never felt like, oh, there's a gap between us or like a wall, language barrier musically.
That's why it was
felt
special.
Very, very intuitive and very organic. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think working with her made me also realize why her album resonated so much with me and with us, because every time we would have an idea, we would all resonate with that idea and agree like unanimously mm-hmm. on it, which makes sense that her music resonated so much with us.
Yeah, that's why
so
I say
she
special.
Will be one of the collaborations on the new album.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are there any others you were working with? You want to share with us?
I think we want to keep it for us.
Okay.
But well, stick around and find out.
Or anything else you can tell about the album that is coming up before we're going to listen to Marta and before we're going to say goodbye already.
I think it's very, very varied in terms of vibes. So Nausicaa, the first album, was really like more cinematic, more adventurous. Punk was more like going back to our roots, and with punk, with a new album, which doesn't have a name yet, we are really looking out at what our fellow musicians are doing that we like, and how that relates to us, and how we can grow in their direction as well. So it's really, in a way, all over the place, style-wise. Mm-hmm. But somehow we are that common denominator that binds it together.
And it's a bit a continuation of the sound of punk. I think punk is an experiment of us transitioning of losing the guitar and transitioning to synths, and me becoming more Antonio playing trumpet and synth at the same time. And this album is like, okay, this is we have more of an idea of the sound that we want to have, and that feels special, and it feels very exciting. Actually, it's very exciting to be working on this. It really is.
Yeah, I really think that the more we have defined our sound, the more it became like a very specific sound, the more that allowed us to actually expand to different genres and horizons.
Yeah,
while still keeping our identity. And that's what's happening, I think, with this new album.
Looking forward.
Yeah, same.
And now you're in the studio. Does that mean that you're not playing this summer?
Well, we are playing.
We are playing, yes.
Yeah, we have a show Friday in Brussels in Sounds Jazz Club.
Nice.
So that's going to be fun. We were there last year, and it was one of the most fun shows that we played, so quite excited to come back. We play, help me out, 11th of April in Vricata Fabric and Den Bosch, right before going on a van tour to Lithuania.
You're
going to drive from here to Lithuania, which is a bad idea, I know. I hope we survive.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. So we do that for 1 week. We play in Lithuania. And
we have some shows in the summer too. We are gonna play in Italy as well in August, and more stuff to come. So just keep an eye on our pages, and there will be stuff in the summer.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end already. We're gonna listen to Marta, your friend, who's gonna be at the album. And thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you
for inviting us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Pleasure.
We will invite you once you know more about the new album.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd love to play it here.
Yeah, we need to play.
You should. Well, thank you so much. We're going to listen to, what is the name of the song by Marta?
Spring But With The Snow.
Spring But With The Snow. Thank you.
You're listening to Red Light Jazz Radio. Oh,
Life is a castle, yours are the hands that build the cornerstone.
Er werd hier geknuffeld in de studio omdat iedereen het zo mooi vond en zo blij was. Dit was Marta Arpini met het nummer Spring, But With The Snow. mensen zijn nog steeds helemaal in extase van hoe mooi het was. Daarom nog wat achtergrondgeluid. Maar we moeten helaas de show weer afsluiten, want we hebben maar een uurtje.
Maar volgende week zijn we terug.
Volgende week zijn
we
terug.
Allemaal stemmen.
Ja, dan kan je dus bij ons stemmen in het stemlokaal. Het laatste nummer waar we naar gaan luisteren, dat is Dancer Dome van Jeremy Im. Die ook dit weekend dus opspeelt op het jazzfestival in
en
Oost.
En ook is ingebracht door Nausicaa.
Precies.
Dus tot volgende week.
Volgende week.